Hello, welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, a Cinelinks podcast. Podcast where we discuss the latest books and novels with the people who wrote them. I'm your host, Steve Duncan. However you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. If you like that intro music, then you've got great taste. That's Sam Witwer and the Crash Tones. If you want to hear more of the Crash Tones, you can download their latest album, Revenge of the Crash Tones, on iTunes or visit samwitwer.com. Today on the show, we're starting to take a look back at 2020, and joining me to discuss the year that was is Melody Simpson. Melody writes about television, movies, books, and Broadway at HollywoodTheRightWay.com in Los Angeles. She's interviewed hundreds of actors, writers, directors, and more in the entertainment industry over the past 12 years. She also writes YA speculative fiction and nonfiction pop culture. This year, she launched Melanin in YA, which is a resource for all things Black in traditional young adult publishing. Her mission is to provide a hub of information to amplify and invest in Black voices, making this a no-excuses database in the YA space. The directory is a space to search for Black authors, agents, editors, cover designers, narrators, you name it. We talk about all of our favorite TV shows, movies, and books from the past year, and a whole lot more. Let's welcome Melody to the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. As the year inevitably winds down, we start to focus on the only things that really matter in life. Best of lists. But honestly, as humans, we love to rank things, whether it's books, movies, TV shows, whatever. We just love ranking things. We love making lists. So as the year winds down, trying to set aside the shit show that it is, I've been trying to focus on some of the things that give me peace, and books are one of those things. And I thought, who better to get to discuss some of these, some of the great books that came out this year, as well as a whole bunch of other things, than Melody Simpson. Melody writes about television, movies, books, and Broadway at HollywoodTheRightWay.com. In addition, she has interviewed hundreds of actors, writers, directors, and more in the entertainment industry over the past 12 years. She also writes YA speculative fiction and nonfiction pop culture. When not writing or reading, not this year, she can be found at musicals or plays or on the exhibition floors for conventions that she grew up on, thanks to her comic book artist father, or at home enjoying Netflix, which is what everyone's been doing this year. And this past August, she launched Melanin and YA, a resource for all things Black in traditional YA publishing. Welcome to the show, Melody.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So that intro is, I just stole it from your website. can't say it much better than that. But it's funny, as I was just reading it now too, it's like I'm in a similar state. You know, my favorite things, I'm mostly a shut-in. So the COVID sadly hasn't cramped my style that much, but some of the things I do enjoy very much are conventions, going to movies and concerts and stuff. And like, I don't know about you, but it just feels like we're never going to do those things again.
It's terrifying to think about that. And I really hope that that is not the case, but it's definitely never going to be the same.
I lived just outside of Toronto, and we have a small local theater that has been open. So, I mean, not that there's anything to see, everything's being pushed and pushed and pushed, but he has been showing a lot of old films and classic films. So that's been fun. And, you know, he's had all these great rules, and our area hasn't been bad too with the pandemic. So he's allowed to open, you know, he's got lots of guidelines, of course, and restrictions and number of people and stuff. So it's been good that way. But I feel so bad for so many people in the industry that just are suffering. And that, like, you know, we go to a lot of concerts, and I just think about these live venues. That's the only thing they do.
That's it.
Is put on concerts. Like, they're like, oh God, it's depressing. This show is not going to be depressing, I promise. how are you doing? Are you and your family and your friends are all safe and sound, I hope, during this pandemic?
Yeah, all safe and sound. I have two sisters. I'm the middle child. My older sister was actually a flight attendant until she was furloughed. So she's a stay-at-home mom now. Mm. And that is stressful, but she's getting into the groove of it and starting to enjoy it. so she's safe at home. And then my other sister is a nanny for doctors, two doctors. So she's definitely very safe where she's at. And then I'm in LA doing my thing. I do have to go into work, but I'm an office manager, so I'm just in the office. But sometimes I do have to see customers when they come to the location that I'm at. So, but we do keep safe. So other than that, everyone is doing quite well. My mother works from home.
Okay.
So, and my father works from home as well. So it's been good on that end that we're all keeping safe.
Seems like you guys, the five of you, are sort of covering every type of angle here. You know, you've got, unfortunately, your sister who's been furloughed, and I hope she gets to go back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then your other sister, who seems like a genius being a nanny for doctors. Well, it's funny because, you know, one of the things, too, that, you know, this most current administration always likes to take credit for is the unemployment rate for Black folks. And I was like, oh, that can't be. And so I did some reading about it, and it turns out Black people at some point really lean towards the health industry, which is just like pandemic proof, and the job security is incredible. So it seems like your sister, you know, I know she's not a doctor herself, but, you know, working for folks who are doctors seems like a pretty, yeah. The job security there is pretty insane.
Definitely. They are always working overtime right now.
And
so she's fine. She has nothing to worry about there.
And not coincidentally, apparently that's now all these people, you know, of all different races, age, ethnicities are now apparently pouring into the health industry to trying for schooling and to get jobs because they see that as a pretty safe industry. So you have to go to work. You can't work from home, I guess. Is that?
I cannot.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah. But I'm actually happy that I even get to go in because I was laid off for 2 months at the beginning of COVID.
Okay.
While I'm not thrilled about having to go into work, I'm just glad that I have a work to go to.
feeling pretty lucky and pretty fortunate, right?
There, so
people are not in that position. And it sounds like you're safe and you're following lots of good guidelines and all that. Thanksgiving, are you all in LA or around LA?
We're all dispersed. Okay. I'm originally from New Jersey, but throughout the years, we've all kind of gone to our separate states, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But my older sister is in Texas. My younger sister is in Atlanta. My mom is now in Texas, but she was in New Jersey up until a few months ago. So we're everywhere. We're not going to be seeing each other.
No, I guess not.
So, but we did... we did see each other once this year, so we were able to all come together once, and that was enough.
was that sort of like during a down period of the pandemic, or was that before March type of thing?
That was actually, I want to say, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So what had happened was my aunt on my mom's side, her sister, she actually passed away about she passed away 6 days before the lockdown started. And then 3 days after she passed away, I lost my job. And then we were like, okay, so are we doing a funeral? If so, how am I even getting there? We obviously didn't have one because everything was shut down.
Right.
And so months passed and we're like, okay, so when are we going to get together and see each other as a family? And like, just be together and so we finally did that a few weeks ago and just all came together. It was my mom's birthday, and she didn't want to obviously spend that alone. So we all decided to go see her for that.
You went to New Jersey?
We actually went to Texas.
Oh, sorry, Texas. Yeah, she's
moved out there in Austin.
Okay, well, Austin, nice. A blue island and a red sea. Well, that's great. I'm sure she must have been just over the moon to see if we get her three girls together and have a good time. It sounds like nice. That's what we look for during this year, right? These sort of bright spots.
There's not many.
No, there hasn't been. Speaking of your mother, just reading your bio there, it sounds like you got pretty good DNA there from both sides as far as the arts are concerned.
Was that
his full-time profession, being a comic book artist, and you mentioned that your mother was musical, but was that her profession or just a hobby?
They actually met at the same performing arts high school. They went to the same performing arts high school in New Jersey, and they weren't in the same circles at that point, but they had found each other in college, and that's when they actually got together. But yeah, I've always been part of a artsy family. My mom's mom, she did off Broadway and attempted Broadway as well, but a lot of other artists and actresses that you may have heard of, they ended up getting those roles. but yeah, so I've always been part of a very artistic family. My dad has always been a comic book artist. There is a photo of, well, I would say of me, but it's a photo of my mom somewhere pregnant with me at a convention center. So I've been going to cons since before I was born.
Oh, that's super cool. That's very cool. Yeah, yeah.
Just, it's part of me.
I'm 44. I've been going to conventions my whole life. I'm a huge, mm-hmm. I'm rarely happier than on a convention floor. It doesn't matter how crowded and stinky it gets. Just,
yeah. It feels like home. It is home.
Yeah. I just get the energy. Oh God, I miss it. God, I miss it so much. So was the plan for you or your sisters to get into any of those things, or what was, how did it go?
I feel like I would say of the three of us, I'm the most, not the most necessarily the most artistic, but the one that goes in that direction the most.
Okay.
My other sisters are talented in different areas, but I would say that my calling, I guess, not to sound corny, mm-hmm. but is definitely in the arts, whereas theirs are more structured, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, everyone's using different parts of their brains differently, right?
Yeah. So,
do you do that for a living though, or no, just on your spare time?
I'm trying. I'm revising a young adult sci-fi that I actually have to send to my agent at the end of the month.
Okay.
Not this month, at the end of December.
Okay.
And hopefully that will sell next year. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
And I have some other things down the pipeline as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I do want to write. Writing has always been a part of my identity, and hopefully I will get paid for it more than I have in the past.
Sure. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, that's, you got to get paid, right? That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, don't give that shit away for free.
Exactly.
Well, fingers crossed. Hopefully you get picked up next year. That would be super rad. Mm-hmm. So besides books, though, I know you're a huge movie buff and you love movies. And I was just reading a lot of the stuff from your website there. And I really liked, what was it, like the 21 movie questions or something like that. Or I don't know if, yeah. I don't know if that information, how up to date it is. But got to say, you've got pretty good taste, I think, in film. I
appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a snob, so thank
no,
you.
No, that's fair. you know, mostly sort of like, you know, definitely like more recent, definitely the last 20 years type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Just sort of like the one, two, what was the one that really stood out? Oh, you mentioned The Birdcage. I love The Birdcage.
Oh, yeah.
But I also said off air, you got a weird obsession with Jim Carrey and white comedians. I'm not sure what that's all about.
I do.
it's so funny. I just watched Ace Ventura the other day.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that does not hold up. Oh my God.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all, but.
Awful.
I don't know if any. It's hard to say if it, well, I don't know. It's, I'm a big Jim Carrey fan, by the way.
Yes,
I'm not knocking you for it at all. I actually think he's a brilliant actor. Mm-hmm. He gets ahead of himself sometimes, but you know, it's funny. I like his non sort of, I mean, I guess the Truman Show is definitely satire. I wouldn't call it comedy, but
definitely not, no.
Like Eternal Sunshine, obviously most people point to that one for his tough stuff, but I love this list of films, and when you're looking at the one part where they ask you your least favorite, and I absolutely love you because you said The Happening. And so because like I've been blogging and talking about movies for a long time now. And so I get asked a lot, especially at work, like, hey, what'd you think of that movie? You know, you probably get the same thing. And,
yes.
And so we always get asked, okay, what's your least favorite movie of all time? So like, I always say The Happening.
Oh my goodness.
Now like within reason, I mean like, cause I'm not going to sit here and say like Human Centipede 3 is my least favorite movie of all time, because I just don't consider that something to be judged or looked at with a critical lens. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
Right. So as far as films we're willing to sit down and dissect and talk about, in general, Happening is usually my go-to for my least favorite film of all time. So I was very happy to see you share that. So I was just talking to Christian Blauvelt not long ago. He's an IndieWire editor and just has a great book out, actually. It's called What to Watch When. It's 1,000 TV shows for every mood and moment.
Yes, that's actually on my TBR.
It's so much fun. And like, it's, you know, it doesn't, it's not a, you know, we're talking about lists and how much we love them. It is, it's, this thing's a, the size of a car as far as content. It will has 1,000 shows. So it is so great. I definitely recommend it. It's got every show you could possibly imagine. And I had him on, I was talking to him about it. And I said, my barometer for like this book, I flipped the index right away when I picked it up. And I went to see if Northern Exposure was in there, and it was. Oh. And so I was like, yes, these guys know what they're talking about. But but when you're listening to 1,000 shows, it's so many. So anyway, yeah. And he's a mass. He's got a great book out too about movie sets in New York. He's a massive cinephile. Oh. And he goes to all the festivals. So him and I had a really good talk about the movie industry this year. So it's been a crazy year. So what have you, what's your opinion on how things have gone with movies in general? And now we're getting Wonder Woman on Christmas Day by the looks of it.
Yeah, that honestly, when I saw that news, that crushed me, because it's like, that's the biggest movie of the year, essentially. And it's going to be available to watch at home. And I'm just, that's when it hit me. I'm like, okay, we're in this.
Are you feeling safe to go to the movies, even if it's out? If they do end up putting it out, or?
No.
Movies even open in LA? I don't even know.
No, they're not.
Yeah, so it seems like a weird move. And I mean, do you have HBO Max? I don't know what the feeling is with HBO Max in the States. I don't know how many people have it. I don't know, because we don't have it up here, so.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I am an addict, so I'm subscribed to everything.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, I have every streaming service that we can get. We just don't get HBO Max in Canada yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We have a thing called Crave. It's sort of like it's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like its affiliate. So that eventually they'll put Wonder Woman on that. So I'll have to wait a little bit, but if that's the way I'm going to watch it. But I'll probably be able to go to my local theater and see it, unless, things get bad here again. But what's just going on with you in movies this year? Are you just been like, did you accept it early on, or were you holding out hope? Did you go see Tenet? Like, what was the thing for you?
I didn't go see it, and I still haven't seen it. And people who don't even see movies like that have seen it before I have. And I'm like, this is not cool. I do not appreciate it. So I'm definitely in a situation that I don't like, because I'm like, hey, that's not fair. I really want to see it. But I feel like I just need to be it's more important for me to be responsible than to go out and do all of that. And then you have to pick and choose which movies you'll pay for once they do come out, because they're not obviously making it $5. You got to pay $20
That's what I was going to ask you about, the sort of like the Mulan experiment,
Oh gosh. Unfortunately, that movie wasn't even good.
I agree.
So disappointing.
It didn't make a lot of money, and I think it's for a lot of reasons, and I think that is one of them, that it wasn't very good. Yep. They just deviated from what made the first one so great.
Yeah, they sucked the life out of that movie.
Yeah, for sure. But then you start at, so you have that. Now, of course, that's only true once you see it, but the fact is, a lot of people just didn't see it because, with Exchange, it was $34 in Canada to see that film. It's a lot of money. Maybe not for a family of four, but for a single person, it's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
Then you factor in all the sort of political stuff with the lead actor. Yeah. And then, Disney sort of like siding with Hong Kong on that one issue. Uh-huh. And it's complicated. Yeah, but my local theater, he's struggling. So he's considering getting out of the business, and he's been here forever.
Oh.
Now he has always told me the writing was on the wall since Netflix came about. Mm. And there's more and more streaming services every year now. So
the
writing is definitely on the wall. How are you feeling about that? Are you like a like a movie house purist, because that's my church for me. And Christian and I were talking about that too. Like that's, the theater is our church. We're both atheists, so we have no choice but to go through. is that how you feel? Like, are you, how are you with technology as far as streaming at home and stuff? Are you okay with it? Or are you really?
I'm, if this is the way that it's going to be, I am definitely going to have to upgrade my TV and yeah. sound system, because I need that experience.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't even have the words to describe how horrible it feels knowing that we might not get, like, this could be the end of an era for theaters. I don't want to be right about that. I really
No, of course not. But I mean, it does seem like it's getting,
it's scary.
It's scary, and it doesn't bode well for future generations.
Especially when movies and TV shows are filming again, and then they have to stop anyway midway because one person got COVID and spread it to 30 people. And it's like, is that even worth it? It's not, obviously. And so it's just really, ugh.
Well, from an investment point of view as well, I mean, you know, if you're a production company and you're like, well, I don't, you know, if there's going to be a pandemic every Christmas, every winter, then, you know, like why, you know, so like, I can just imagine that the calendars, yeah. the release calendars going forward are going to be a nightmare to negotiate.
Oh, yeah.
There's already so little room for these big, big movies to squeeze in and squeeze all the lower indie films out. It just seems like, I mean, to play devil's advocate, it just seems like a no-brainer just to go on streaming services now. But it'll be a sad day for me if I can't go see a movie in a theater anymore, that's for sure. But we're not there yet, so fingers crossed. Like everything else.
Oh, no. I feel like I tweeted a while ago, like, somebody just tell me if they're going to close the theater so I can just go one last time.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I want to go one last time if this is it. Tell me.
You know, that like there's a couple things going for us. Number one, like the last few years, you know, the ticket sales were ginormous. Mm-hmm. I realize that, you know, what people are seeing has changed, but, yeah. And the indie films don't fare so well anymore, but, you know, there's still money to be made. And I think, you know, that, you know, a cynical person might think that could be the reason they do come back at some point, but I don't know. We'll see. Just one of the many things that this year has brought. 2020 has been messed up for so many reasons. It's impossible to keep track. Most important, I think, in my opinion anyways, I'm probably not alone there, but, you know, the response to the murder of George Floyd and how that anger and energy sort of spread to every aspect, you know, of Black life in America. And it really shone a light on so many industries. The publishing industry was a big one. L. McKinney started the publishing paid me hashtag, which was really great. And that got a lot of attention, and rightfully so. Got a lot of other people speaking out about what's going on in the publishing industry with BIPOC authors. You know, my friend Justina Ireland has been really outspoken about it. And, you know, we kind of, when I say we, I mean me, dumb, you know, white people sort of had like a kind of an idea what was going on, the ones that were empathetic anyways, but I don't think we realized how bad it was. So I've spoken to a handful of Black authors this year, throughout the year for this show. And each time, you know, it's kind of funny because it's tracked over the course of the year. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to talk to them at different points as things have gone, you know, from bad to worse. You know, so it's like, and I remember talking to some authors earlier in the year, right in the thick of it. And we talked about how some of them, you know, like we were calling it the Black Lives Matter bump, basically, right? So all of a sudden, all these Black creators and artists were getting attention that they hadn't gotten before, whether it was white guilt or whatever it was. And then I remember talking to some people sort of as that started to peter out. And, you know, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but whatever like shitty bar we were at before, it does seem like, and even though we have like a long way to go, it like a long way to go.
Nowhere close.
Am I wrong? Did it lift up even a little bit still, even after now that it's settled, or what do you think?
Oh no. I mean,
you don't think at all. Okay.
I don't really. I don't think so, no. There's a lot of showboating, I guess you could say. And I think the whole thing just needs to sink completely.
Yeah.
And we just need to start from scratch. Of course, that may, I mean, there have been some moves made, like some people have lost their jobs, and then we've gotten some promotions. A lot of Black executives in the industry have gotten promoted, so that's great. They've been moved into positions where they have power, more power than they had before. So I'm hoping that that moves the needle. But they can't do everything.
No, and that's the type of thing. That's the type of thing that won't that won't set in. That'll take a while too to take effect, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's gonna take time. Yeah. We haven't even gotten started, honestly.
It's hard because, you know, my timeline is not like, you know, no two timelines are alike. So, you know, I follow so many great authors and a lot of Black authors and a lot of Indigenous authors. And, you know, it's been the part that, and I've said this to them too, it's like, if folks aren't reading these books, it's their fucking loss. Cause like these books are so goddamn great. Right. Like that's the part that frustrates me. They're crushing it. This year has been incredible. And that's the part that drives me the craziest is it's not from a lack of talent and what's even more disheartening is, you know, its entire history and even up until now, and then, you know, there's still inertia happening, so it's going to take a while, but you know, there's so many BIPOC authors that are still going to be dissuaded, and we're never going to get to hear their voice, and that could be the next, you know, NK or, you know what I mean? So it's just, that's the part that bumps me out, is that we're still at a point where it's, you know, there's still this pressure being applied, and so many great authors, you know, whether they're Black or, you know, Asian or Indigenous, are going to get dissuaded from even trying.
And I don't want them to, because...
No, of course not, yeah.
The thing is, this moment in time does not define the paths that are set out for each of us.
Right.
So keep writing. If you're listening to this, keep writing, keep pushing, keep querying, keep doing your thing, because you're on the right track. So just keep going.
Right.
If the ones who keep going are the ones you see on those bookshelves at Barnes & Noble. So you just have to keep going.
And what's really great also is that, you know, they all, and we've had a lot of great debuts this year, and they've all, you know, all the authors, and as you know, you talk to them, are so forthcoming about their journey, and they're so great about, you know, this community that's been created, but helping each other up and help, and, you know, propping everybody up is just so inspiring. It's so great. And I can't wait to see, you know, what this year spawns, like that. So it'll be interesting to see in a year or two, and things start to surface. That'll be an interesting to see what is it going to be hopeful stories? Is it going to be, you know, things continue to be shitty stories? I don't know. We'll see.
There's so much Black joy in particular that publishers need to, they're claiming that they want our stories. So that's really what they need to, I mean, there's so much that they can acquire, but Black joy in particular, I feel like we need to be pushing, especially right now.
Yeah. And even if one of the things too, I've talked about with a lot of them was, you know, even if, you know, you're getting this extra attention, and even if it's maybe for the wrong reasons, you know, like say white guilt, I think it's still important to, you know, maybe take advantage of that.
Oh, for sure. Like right? there's some people, I'm on all sides of Twitter, whether it's movie Twitter, book Twitter, TV Twitter, all of it.
Yeah.
So on the screenwriting side, there were some white writers and producers and people in higher levels that have been like, oh, I'll read your script, blah, blah, blah. If you're a Black writer, whatever, whatever. I've always fought for you. And I'm like, I know you're lying through your teeth. I'm going to send you my script anyway.
Right. Yeah. You know, like it's sort of like infiltrate and then we'll, you know, tear it from exactly. the inside out. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So sort of, you know, talking about all this, the one thing that brought you into my little world was this really great thing that you've started. So it, Melanin and YA, I'm just going to read this little sort of what it's about. Melanin YA was created as a resource for all things Black and traditional young adult publishing. The mission is to provide a hub of information to amplify and invest in Black voices, making this a no-excuses database in the YA space. The directory is a space to search for Black authors, agents, editors, cover designers, narrators, influencers, and more. The main page covers news, which includes but is not limited to book deal and movie TV adaptation announcements, cover reveals, new releases, awards, and more. So you created this past August. Now, I mean, it's exactly what I just described. It is a database and it is great and thorough. And I love that you didn't stop with just authors. I love that you have cover designers, because you know we all love our covers, and us book nerds arrange our shelves sometimes by the covers. Or with people with OCD, editors, the unsung heroes of the publishing industry,
for sure.
Influencers, I love that you have a section too for you know, book bookstagrammers and you know, all these other great reviewers and bloggers and stuff. And so as one, I appreciate that as well. So this is thorough and it's a great directory and it's just getting started, really. You created this past August, you sort of had like a soft launch and things have been progressing from there. But let's go back a little bit. Let's get into sort of like where, you know, where were you? When did you come up with this idea? How did it sort of evolve when you first thought of it to what it looks like now?
So honestly, I've kind of been just, my mind has just been wrestling, and I've always been trying to figure out what I can do in the book community while I'm, I don't want to say stagnant, but while I'm unknown in a sense, and what I can get started to just feel like I'm part of something. So I didn't know what that was. I've been feeling this way for a few years now. And then finally, this year, when all this stuff started happening and you see all these white saviors on Twitter trying to say that they support you and blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, you support me, but do you know who this Black author is who's been around for 10 billion years? Or do you just know these three Black authors that have hit the New York Times bestseller list?
Right.
So I just wanted to I kind of got a little fed up. And so I just wanted to make something comprehensive as a go-to guide where you could go and get some information about authors that aren't the top five authors that everybody knows, and get more in depth about what's behind Black art, I should say, in particular in YA. So that was really it just all kind of accumulated with, I guess, anger. And then I finally just, I kind of just threw my hands up and said, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And then I did it.
Right. So was the plan though, to put it out this year, like regardless, or was sort of, you know, this year was the thing, was just like, you know, I've been sort of like sitting on this now. And,
oh, no, you know. I had no idea this was what I was going to do. My next step. It kind of just, that kind of just formed over like the course of a weekend. And I said, okay, so I think I'm going to do this. And I had been thinking about, I should say, I've been thinking about it for about 2 weeks. And then finally, after 2 weeks, there was a weekend where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. So I bought a domain. I just started creating the website. Didn't know exactly everything that was going to be on there. At first, it was originally just authors. But then I started thinking, and I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I should just be as expansive and useful and resourceful as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's when I expanded it further.
I love that you just, you're like, yeah, I just came up with this great idea in like a weekend. And okay. You're like, yeah, it was just, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll just come up with this great idea.
I'm not going to make it sound like all like that. I do want to mention, I may have had a manic episode and done it that weekend. So that did happen, but it got done.
Yes. So. No, it did. It did get done, and it got done very well. And I know it's still like such in its infancy stage, right? I know you have tons of plans for it. I loved early.
So many.
We'll talk about sort of, you know, like you did a Patreon and really what you did with that money, which I thought was great. We'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. Cause that shopping trip you went on is like the dream shopping trip.
But, oh yeah. It really was.
Why that's an awful sentence. Why young adult publishing? What's it about young adult how'd you fall on that? Was that just because that's your favorite, or you thought that was one that maybe, because we're in a bit of a young adult renaissance right now.
Yeah.
So why YA?
Well, that's, I do read widely in all age categories. Yeah. However, this one is the one that I want to debut in and am immersed in.
Yep.
And since I'm most immersed in it, it's what I'm most familiar and comfortable in. And that's what takes up most of my feed as far as the age categories of books. My socials, YA is at the forefront. Mm-hmm. So that's really just why I wanted to focus on that. A lot of people have asked me if I would expand to MG or adult, and I'm like, no. If you knew how much work this was, you wouldn't be asking me that in the first place. Like, this is so much work.
People are saying that. Maybe they do. I won't say this, but like that, just adding another.
It's so much work.
There's so many more books. Yeah, just middle grade, right? Forget like an adult. Forget it. That's so many more titles you'd have to. That is an incredible amount of titles, and it's only going to get longer now because we've seen some pretty great success this year. But I liked your point about, like you said, there's so many people that, you know, could name Octavia Butler or, you know, Angie Thomas. You know what I mean? Everyone knows them. But, you know, what's been great about this year, I think, and we, so many great names have come to the, and it's not even debut authors too. It's folks that have been around a little bit, you know, like the NK Jemisins of the world and stuff have been, you know, hiding there, you know, putting out such great work. And then now we have these great debut authors. But you know, there's folks that, like I mentioned her, Justina Ireland's been around now for a little bit. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking to her because, you know, her Deathless Divide came out in the spring. And I love that book.
That's a fantastic sequel.
Yeah, Dread Nation is so good too. She was saying her June sales eclipsed her release month sales.
Yep.
And you know, we were just like, this is nuts, right? And it's funny. I like talking, you know, the debut authors who have nothing to compare it to. So it's fun to talk to the authors who do, right? Right. That's why this year has been super interesting, especially. We are getting a bit of a renaissance with YA. So I think this website is perfectly timed. And so one of the things you did early on, which I really loved, was you started a Patreon for it. And, you know, people are cynical, and I'm sure, and I don't know if anyone doubted your sincerity, but one of the things that you're going to be doing with the website is you're doing like, is it like a giveaway a month or a day, or it's something crazy?
So for the month of December, I'll be giving one book away every single day on my socials. And in addition to one book, I'll also throw in swag from other authors. So that will be my December giveaway as my big, I guess, promo for the launch, like leading up to the launch. And then next year, I'll hopefully be able to give away, depending on, I do have a Patreon, so I would like to be able to give, I do have one tier where it's a swag pack for people who donate a specific amount each month. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to continue with the giveaways, at least one or two a month. One like physical copy and then ebook copy, maybe throw in some audiobooks as well. So I do want to continue giveaways because I do feel like it's important to not just talk about the books, but say, okay, here you go. So I want to be a part of not just talking up books, but putting them in the hands of people who want to read them.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things I don't, and I would encourage you to reach out to the publishing houses too, especially with ebooks. I'll never understand why they turn people down for ebooks.
Yeah.
Like they should want that thing in everybody. I understand the physical galleys and all that stuff, right? That's printing, that's money, I guess. But ebook, like give those things out to anybody who wants one. Like why, you know, I don't get that. But anyway, that's one of the things about the site that I love that you're doing. And you're right. Like, you know, there's so many people are in dire straits and can't afford, you know, and they love reading, but they can't afford it. And, you know, this is an opportunity for them to get their hands on some of these great titles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that I have been doing, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to keep it up, but as long as I can keep it up, whenever there is a flash ebook sale where an ebook is $1.99, I'll say, okay, I'm giving away this ebook to three people if you retweet or whatever within the next 2 days or something like that. So I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be about it.
Absolutely. We'll talk after, but I'm going to inject some money into that, especially the ebook side of it. Yeah, we'll figure out how we're going to do that. But so 2020 has been, let's talk about 2020. Talk about your book. Tell me about your book reading habits. How many do you normally read in a year? And, you know, it varies, obviously. Everyone's usually varies. And what's this year been like for reading for you? I know you mentioned that it hasn't been as many as you would have liked.
Not nearly. I usually try to read at least 100 books a year, but I'm not even at 40, I think, right now. Okay. So that kind of sucks. It's basically December. Might as well be. Haven't done much anything.
Right.
As far as reading goes. So, yeah, I've got a lot of books that I've started, and I just, for some reason, don't finish them. And it's not because they're not good. It's just because I get distracted or stuck, and then I just don't go back to it. But I will say that I'm finishing up, what am I finishing up? I'm finishing up Angel of Greenwood by Randy Pink. Mm-hmm. And that comes out next year. And it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm just so excited for these books that are coming out next year. Oh my goodness. So for this year, sorry, I just got really excited.
Next year is fantastic. And that's a great resource you've got on your page too, is you've got a lot of the great, or as many as you could probably get a hold of releases for next year.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, one of the things that I'm going to push myself to do is kind of do a profile, not so much a recap, but just so you know, this book is in present tense, this book is this POV, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that for as many 2021 books as possible. Mm-hmm. So that will, I don't want to say force me to read, but that will encourage me to keep on top of the new releases. Sure. So I'm really excited about that, because this year has just not been great for me as far as reading goes. But next year I'm really pumped. It feels like I have a reason to be excited about reading again. I don't know if that makes sense.
That does make sense. That's amazing. Are you going to get into reviews at all, do you think? Or
The thing is, I specifically do not want to review books on Melanin YA. Mm-hmm. Because I do not want any bias there.
Right.
I want to present the facts and
no, that's fair.
Reports.
Yep.
So I want to take me out of Melanin YA, but for the books that I'm over the moon excited about, I want to scream about, I'll bring that to my blog, Hollywood My Way, which is kind of been dormant for a while, but now I've kind of breathed new life into my online life, I guess you could say.
Sure.
So for the books that I really want to talk about, I'll talk about them on my personal blog for sure.
Well, yeah, you have got a book section on that site, so why not, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's there. It's already there. Okay, so what of the 40 or so that you have read this year, what's stood out for you this past, for 2020? Anything, what's been your favorite?
I finally read, what did I just read? That, what is it, Thunderhead or some, the Neil Schusterman's sequel in his trilogy, I forget. That one was amazing. Neil Schusterman's one of my favorite authors anyway. So mm-hmm. I guess that's kind of, I already know that's going to be good. So.
Right.
And then I finally finished the Paper Girls series, and that's a graphic novel series, and that is amazing. And I am so excited. Well, I don't know when it's going to happen now,
right?
But I'm really excited for the adaptation, and they better make it good. I'm going to be so upset. I read Ashley Woodfolk's Fly Girl. She has technically three Fly Girls, like novellas, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. Two came out this year and one is coming out next year. And those two were so, it was nice to kind of be back in that Fly Girls world. So that was nice. And then A Clap When You Land, Elizabeth Acevedo.
Yep.
That was beautiful. Let's see. Oh my gosh. You know, one of my favorites is Tahamaopi, A Very Large Expansive Sea. I just recently, I don't want to say just recently. This year has been, it feels like it's never ended. But I feel like I did read that a few months ago. It could have been January. It could have been a few months ago. I don't know. But anything Tahamaopi writes, I love. So.
It's so funny. I saw something on Twitter where somebody was talking about it. Like, you know, people who review or blog or whatever. It's like our calendars are not the same as other folks because exactly. because we're into 2021, right? So it's like when somebody asks me about 2020, I was like, when was that? The 20? Uh-huh. Just like, I'm like, I think June was pretty good. And then it was just like, and then when I was looking up, I was like, why would I think that? So then I forced myself to look it up and I'm like, oh yeah, that was, you know, Song Below Water Roseanne's Song of Wraith and
Moon,
and Leia's You Should See Me in a Crown, All the Things We Never Knew, like that month was insane. That month was
June was wild,
right? So it's been such a great year too. So like next year's already looking fantastic, and I've already read some really, really great ones. Like I just can't wait to see people's reaction to the Gilded Ones. And
I've got that on my NetGalley for sure.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm looking at my NetGalley right now, and I'm just so excited to read these books. Oh my goodness! I'm excited about Witches Deep in Gold.
It's so good. It is so good. Yep. Wings of Ebony's great is too.
Yeah. Oh, Love is a Revolution. Renee Watson. She's fantastic.
There's so many. I have this, you know, like we all do, a database of stuff. And I was just was looking at it the other day to sort of just like update it and check off a couple things that I'd read already.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, it's like I had forgotten how like loaded next year is. I can't wait. The great thing is now we've got all these debuts from this year who are doing their follow-ups and stuff next year. And it's just like, I'm the same as you. I don't just do YA. I do all sorts of, all sorts of things. So it's like, you know, just, you know, like Rebecca Roanhorse had two great books this year, and there she's mm-hmm. follow-ups to both of those next year, and just stuff like that. And I just can't wait. And I'm still actually getting over The Burning God by R.F. Kuang. Just wrapped up the Poppy War trilogy, and I'm just like traumatized over that. But it's just it's been such a great year. And you know, and that's just books. I mean, like, you know, I know you're a big TV person too, and we've had The Watchmen, and
that was fantastic,
which was so great. And obviously the big one, you know, Lovecraft Country, which had everyone's attention there for a while. Were you obsessed with it like most people were, or what did you watch it week to week, or did you binge it?
I definitely watched it week to week. I had so much fun watching Lovecraft Country, but I would say that my sci-fi heart fell more in love with Watchmen.
Yeah.
And so Watchmen was my If I had to choose, I would say Watchmen was my number one as far as those two go. I feel like while Lovecraft was absolutely fantastic, it did have some problematic moments. Yes. Whereas Watchmen was, I feel like Watchmen was just superb all the way through. Nothing like that.
I agree. I think the Watchmen was great from start to finish. I think Lovecraft sort of petered off as the season went on. And then of course, like there was the Two Spirit episode, which really just really ups, like, I don't even like thinking about it now, but that was sort of, it seemed like I guess I'll say they jumped the shark, but it was kind of, it's such a weird, and that was, you know, just such a strange choice, but, and they never really recovered from that, I don't think, but,
I don't think so.
You know, it's been such a great year, I think, that it's like, where do we go next year? I don't even know. So
I mean, I'm really excited about next year, a Black Lady Sketch Show season 2. I'm so excited for Euphoria season 2. Mm. I May Destroy You. I want more of that.
I was so happy when Zendaya won the, I was so happy for her.
So well deserved.
Yeah. It's such a great show. Yeah.
And then I wasn't familiar with it before, but Blood and Water on Netflix, mm-hmm. I watched that. Oh, it was just so charming and just absolutely delightful. I loved it. It was everything. If you want a teen drama set in Africa, I mean, go watch that.
Did you see the 40 Old Virgin?
I did, yes.
I loved it.
She's fantastic. Right? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that. I think it's been just a great year, I think. And, you know, one of the things that you know, I'm looking forward to most next year is to a chance for all these creatives to shine, you know, because the political landscape is going to change a little bit. And it'll be nice to see when creatives are allowed to be creative without necessarily making a political statement.
Yeah.
And because that's when I think we're really going to appreciate the talent. Mm-hmm. That we've been just fucking ignoring for too long. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's, I think next year we're going to see the effects of that. And I can't wait. Melody, I can't thank you enough for coming, for talking to me today. This was so much fun. MelaninYA.com, literally, that's what it is, MelaninYA.com is where you can check out all the great stuff that you're doing as far as that goes. But it's, and I'm just looking at it again now. It's got so many great things in here. This is like such a resource, man.
Thank you. And so much more is coming, you guys.
So what's okay, let's talk about that for a sec then. What's your mission statement for Melanin YA for 2021? What's the goal?
Oh man, the goal is to do it all. Where do I begin? I have an Excel sheet of all of the things that I want to do next year. I want to do my own little awards, kind of like a better Goodreads with way more obviously diversity in the categories because they don't really have much there. I want to do an auction and raise money, not just for Melanin YA, but also for other organizations as well. I tried to raise money for We Need Diverse Books a few years ago. When I did a 5K fundraiser, YA runs a 5K with Susan Dennard a while back. And I want to really reach the goal and surpass the goal and really help other organizations in that way as well. I want to collaborate with people who are stuck home and have influence and see what they're reading. Mm-hmm. And hopefully get some eyes on books that, again, people may not know about because of the mainstream books that get so much attention.
Right.
I really want to mix it up. And there's a lot of stuff that I want to share, but I also want to take my time sharing it because it's just so much work doing each thing.
Yep.
But you guys, I mean, I keep saying you guys, everyone, if you only knew what's on my list.
I love it. Big goals. So set big goals. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, that's going to be great. I can't wait to track it as the year goes on. That'll be super fun. Obviously,
it's going to be such a fun year.
And I think because, I mean, it doesn't look like people are going to be, we're not going to be going back to normal. It doesn't look like anytime soon anyways. So there's still gonna be a lot of people, you know, with their butts in their chairs and reading and online and doing all these types of things. So they're going to be looking to you for, you know, all recommendations and new authors and new books and new titles. And so this is a great, great spot to do it. Obviously, however I can help, you will let me know.
Thank you.
MelaninYA.com is that. HollywoodTheRightWay.com is the other site, which is your another one of your sites. It's your site, right?
Yeah.
And that's maybe where we're going to see some, you're going to sort of, you said it's been slow going on that one, but you're going to amp that up next year. Is that the idea?
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to get back into blogging about movies and TV and books and really, I won't be able to blog about theater since that won't really be happening, but the movies and TVs, I'm excited, and books, I'm excited to get back into blogging about that for sure.
There's some industries that I just don't want to know the effects of yet. Like, I just don't want to hear that horror. You know what I mean? And theater is one of them, mm-hmm. like live theater. I mean, it just, I don't need that type of downer. Exactly. we probably have a pretty good idea of how well it's not going. Yeah. So it's just, anyways, hopefully at some point next year, I don't know if the vaccine will help with that or not, but we'll find out. Melody, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Have a very happy Thanksgiving. I know it's a little different. It's a little different this year, but I guess Zoom turkey. I don't know what people are going to do, but whatever you end up doing, please do it safely. And I hope you have a great time and a great end of the year. And we all look forward to Melanin and YA 2021. There you have it, another episode of Everything is Canon all wrapped up. A huge thanks to Melody for joining me today. That was a lot of fun, and she's doing phenomenal work with Melanin NYA, and I can't wait to see what she has in store for 2021. Don't forget about her December book giveaways, so make sure you check out her Twitter account, @Melanin_YA. To find out more about the site, including how you can support it financially, go to MelaninNYA.com. To see more of Melody's writing, head over to HollywoodTheRightWay.com. That's right, as in WRITE. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen, and head on over to cinelinks.com for the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news. Please be safe out there. Bye for now.
Our time has come, it's time to go now.